brief excerpt indeed from Mozart's Abduction for the Seraglio there with the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra, which hopefully, all being well, will connect Florida with Lincoln, England with Los Angeles, because first of all, before we go to the awesome Scott Harrison, we will say Mike Dooley. How are you, sir?
Hello, Alex. I'm happy to be with you again.
Excellent.
How are you?
Brilliant stuff. Well, we thought we'd actually move things along a couple of notches, because normally we do this one-way link and connection with you in Florida. Ace, guru of positive thinking and wonderful inspirational writing, thoughts on the universe and so on. More of that, because we're also connected live with the chief executive officer for the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra. That's the amazingly wonderful Scott Harrison. How are you, Scott?
Good morning, Alex. Good afternoon, and hello to everyone.
Excellent. You see, it's worked, Mike. The universe is working to actually connect Lincoln, England, with Florida, and indeed with the delights of Los Angeles as well. I think, gentlemen, it's fair to say that you're probably in areas that aren't having 3 or 4 inches of snow and where the temperatures are minus 5 degrees centigrade. So, you know,
not in the least.
But, you know, with your Scottish background, Mike, I'm sure you'll sort of say that there's nothing worry about that. You know, it's what we like, and I'm sure there's a bit of snow as well every so often. But what the hey, Mike, we're going to talk more about your own fabulous stuff in a few moments. But Scott, if we can come to you first, because just when we thought, how are they ever going to cope with the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra with the amazing loss of Jeffrey Cahane? Tremendously talented one. And then, lo and behold, you magic out of the ether, so to speak, the amazing Jamie Martin, flutist, new music director of Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra. You just keep getting better and better.
Well, thank you. I mean, it is such an exciting and proud time and moment for the orchestra. I mean, Jaime is fantastic, and you're right. He has an amazing background as one of the UK's and Europe's top flautists. He then transitioned into his conducting career, and he is just such a wonderful musician and man. We are so excited that he's our new artistic leader, and we can't believe we've already made the announcement it's happening. The future is beginning right now.
As you said, deeply familiar with the transformative music making that happens at a finely tuned chamber orchestra, Jamie has a gift for unlocking radiance and emotion in a broad range of repertoire. I've got to say, Mike, that listening to the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra is the ideal musical accompaniment to listening to reading Playing the Matrix. Put that out there.
I'm honored to hear that, especially given the turn of events there and with Jamie's appearance, as Scott was telling us. Mm. It's just the magic in play, you know, when you least expect it, things get even better, such is life.
And that, Scott, from your own perspective, must be, I mean, you know, we've said in past on your previous sort of co-presentations with us that, you know, it's almost a joy itself to work with the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra. But being chief executive is a case of literally the news just keeps on getting better and better.
I think so. Your others say that. From my perspective, everything's really new and exciting, and it's been validated outside.
We lost a little bit of that. It kind of went into the ether. So we got to think it did, and then we got the outside. So we just pick up that again, basically, in terms of the magic happening, I think.
Oh, sure. I mean, I was saying that from inside. I see it deliberately. So, especially here being validated from the outside.
We're getting slight shaking of heads here from that sort of point of view. So I tell you what, Scott, we're going to try and reach you on another. We'll fade out. Mike, are you still with us?
I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, you're fine. Everything's wonderful from that point of view. Scott, if you kindly replace the receiver, we'll come back to you in a few moments when hopefully we'll get a nice, clear, brisk line once again from that point of view. But whilst we're actually doing that, Tessa, you've had a chance to look at two of the wonderful Mike Dooley books that we've actually brought across on that basis. Mm. And Tessa's one of our final Level 3 students as well from that point of view, as indeed is Hannah Brown. And Tessa, as I said last week, you know, you need to be more positive. You mustn't worry.
Yes.
If you choose to worry, you're just going to get more worrying things.
Yeah, which I am quite a worrier. So,
Well, Tesla, the number one thing that audiences ask me when I give a day-long or week-long presentation on the power of our thought to live deliberately, joyfully, in abundance and health, et cetera, the number one concern or fear they have is their own negativity. And they feel like that I must be Mr. Positive, and I could never be as positive as you, Mike Dooley. It's like, oh, if you only knew how much I worried and how much I fretted and how much I stewed in my entire life. Yet one of the things that goes hand in hand with my teachings that our thoughts become things, that we are all powerful spiritual beings, is our profound inclination to succeed to such a degree, Tesla, your positive thoughts are like 10,000 times more powerful than your negative thoughts. So it's not like you have this war. We think we have a 50-50 shot of surviving. Our own lives are testament of what I'm sharing. We smile more than we frown. We laugh more than we cry. We have friends more than we're alone. We have health more than we're sick. We have money more than we're broke. We don't give ourselves credit for this inclination and this innate propensity to succeed and thrive in the world. And by not doing that, we kind of get in our own way. So if you refrain from thinking of yourself as a negative person sometimes or having some difficulty being positive all the time and just realize that you have license to worry and you're still going to succeed, you will come up with even more extraordinary successes than your life has already delivered to you.
Wow, that's very inspiring.
And that's why we always like to finish every show with a thought from the universe from Mike,
which is lovely.
Mike, we're going to hopefully use more Universal Magic now to bring back on board our Florida correspondent using a little touch of Brahms Serenade, if that's okay, with the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra. So if you're kind enough to stay with us, we're going to have a touch of Brahms Serenade. That'll sort of lead us through. Hannah Brown is also perusing playing The Matrix, so that's going to be, I think you're quite fascinated by that, Hannah, it seems.
I'm intrigued.
And I'll be having a few questions for you. And we'll have Scott Harrison back in a few moments as we continue with the Midweek Drive on Siren Radio. Awesome. Mike, I mean, I'm not sure in terms of musical habits, or your thoughts in terms of the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra and so on. Is classical music something you think, actually, that's quite good, or do you prefer something else when you're sort of thinking about the inspirational wonderment of the universe?
I think it's probably what we all get to hear when we transition to that great playground in the sky. That's the kind of music I would expect to hear.
Absolutely.
That and, and I'm open for surprises.
Always the best way. And indeed, top 10 things dead people want to tell you. Another awesome text. There's so many texts have been written since Mike was last on the show. It's amazing. Scott, are you now back with us and back healthy in good, solid ways from Los Angeles?
I am back. I think we're so excited here that even the phone started flipping out.
Yes, so true. Anyway, we talked about Jaime Martin and the great news with respect to that. Coming up, of course, in April and May, a number of wonderful concerts that we've actually got, the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra in focus, and the two major human beings, life forms, fellow co-creators that you're featuring, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart and, of course, Johannes Brahms. Why did you choose those two particular composers in a way to actually launch this whole theme?
Well, I think there's such a kinship with Mozart and Brahms, and one is that they're known so well for their big output, their symphonies, their other major works, but they both were so serious and committed to their intimate works, their chamber music, and really reaching audiences in that more direct way. And for an orchestra like ours that works in a variety of formats and genres and works with larger orchestral works and smaller chamber works, to feature the more intimate side of these two men, and particularly the sort of the depth of sort of soulfulness that they reached in their smaller ensemble works, it's such a great pairing, and it's so perfect for our orchestra. because it features two unique works. They both wrote something for the same instrumentation, a clarinet quintet, which means a clarinet backed up by a string quartet, two violins, viola, cello. So it's a very deep and rich sound, and they both took that previously unsort of recognized or unused instrumentation or ensemble and did some real magic with the setting. So that's the concert we're going to have in April featuring Mozart and Brahms on the In Focus series.
Which sounds wonderful. I think we just about got managed to get. Must be snow on the line, is all I can say. Must be some sort of snow on the line between here and Florida and Los Angeles. It's working through that. Mike, I don't know if you picked up some of that. Are you a regular visitor to Los Angeles? Because I know you've got some wonderful tours and the Adventurers Club and the tours that are around there. When's the last time you went West Coast?
Oh, I was there a few months ago. I usually make it there two or three times a year to see my publisher just south of L.A.
Yeah.
And it's always a great experience. I never saw any snow, though.
No, I think we'd have to worry if we were actually getting snow from the perspective.
Yeah.
Tessa?
Well, in terms of... Are we talking about the books?
We can talk about the books. We can talk about the music. We can talk about anything. We can talk about anything you wish.
I think classical music, that was lovely, the two numbers we've just heard. I've actually heard that classical music is good to listen to while you're studying. Mm. I think it's been proven or we've seen in the news before. Would you agree with that?
Scott?
Yes,
I lost you there for a second after you lost
no.
me. Can you say that? I'm sorry, please say that one more time.
Yes, no, I was just saying the two numbers we've heard are really, really lovely. And I was just saying that I believe classical music can help with studying. It can help you concentrate. It's good to listen to. I think it's been on the news before.
Yes. Yeah, well, it's certainly true. There's been many studies that show the sort of power of classical music in focusing the brain and focusing the mind and helping people really reach for the depths of their own knowledge. But, you know, it's very interesting, like a concert we had this last weekend. I think sometimes people don't recognize the range of classical music, that there's some of the works we might know better, like Mozart and Beethoven, which could often tap into those sort of moments of focusing. But there's also some, in good ways, very challenging and unique and sort of daring projects, like we had a world premiere by a young L.A. composer, Ellen Reed, this past weekend that was a much different sort of work that really pushed our boundaries in a very exciting way. And you certainly wouldn't study to that music, but you get carried away with it and get really excited.
Yeah.
And again, thinking about that from your own perspective, Mike, I mean, I'm looking at even more notes from the universe here and the sort of that element of how we are creating. We often don't realise just how much magic and good stuff human beings can do. If we get bogged down in the sort of notions, certainly for our geopolitical sort of viewpoints, you know, sometimes we forget how good things can be.
Yeah, and I think it's reflective of what I believe are primitive times we now live in, spiritually speaking. In the arc of where we're going and all that's possible, I think we will surely continue to astonish ourselves for millennia to come. When we get out of our own way, when we stop thinking life is hard, when we stabilize the magical energies in our mind, just as you were alluding to with music right now, or we channel the magical, truly magical energies of our mind to do our bidding, to live deliberately, to create consciously, to heal spontaneously, to attract love and purpose and meaning. I mean, these are the caveman years extended right now that we're living in, naive to the majesty that surrounds us everywhere. So it's also a very exciting time to be alive because of the kind of breakthroughs that Scott was just mentioning and how we can push ourselves, challenge ourselves. The frontier is infinite, and it's good to be us right now in the jungles of time and space.
I'm not sure, Scott, whether you're familiar with Mike's work in times past, but I thought we'd connect you with that. TUT.com is a wonderful go-to website. That's an inspirational system. Do you find that we've talked about the inspirational side of your music and the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra and so on, but do you think, is there a resonance with what Mike's been saying there, what we've been saying? I mean, there's a wonderful quote here. Whatever you're going to do today, please do it to the best of your ability, as if it was all that mattered, as if it was all you had, and as if your very happiness depended upon it, because these are among some of the very truths you came here to learn. Is this something which you think, actually, there is something in this somehow?
Well, I think that music pushes us to be our best selves, and it pushes us to unlock what we're capable of. And music can be inspirational, and it can be reflective, and it can help us through difficult times and put things in perspective. I know that's a lot to put on some sounds and some notes, but when in the hands of a master composer, whether from the past or whether one living and working today, and then channeled through the hands of great musicians who bring sensitivity and tenderness to their performance, I mean, it really can be one of those ingredients in helping us achieve and to think and to open up. I mean, I just find for myself personally, and I hear this from audience members too, that singing in our concert hall, whether it's a optimistic work, a mournful work, a tuneful work, or maybe a more strident work, it can help them reach inside themselves and understand who they are and what they're dealing with. And so I feel a lot of resonance with what Mike's been saying. And yeah, I think that music is a big part of this sort of ecosystem of helping us achieve and be the best selves that we can be.
I can see a line here, gentlemen, where we could conceivably actually have a Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra event directed by Jaime, in which we have Mike Dooley reading out some thoughts of the universe.
Let's do it.
Well, exactly. Hannah, any thoughts for yourself?
Well, I've been having a look at your book, Playing the Matrix. I haven't been able to give it a proper read that it deserves, but I've been having a little thick peruse, and I'm finding it really intriguing. It's not what I was expecting. Some of the phrases, just turn this page. Yeah, the digital GPS navigation programming destination. It's I feel like it's a very unique way of describing planning your life, because you think of books about helping that sort of thing. I don't know how to exactly say it.
Well,
it seems very like you're using obviously technology to describe it, and that kind of is really intrigued me, and I do want to give it a more of a proper read, because it seems like nothing I've looked at before. And the other thing I love is the little notes from the universe throughout. I just wonder, where did you get that idea from to do them throughout the book? Because I keep searching for them just so I can read those.
You should sign up and register.
Thank you very much. The notes came about at a low time in my life. Now, shockingly, it seems like yesterday, 18 years ago, when I wanted to receive positive inspiration on a regular basis, just as the walls were closing in on me every day. I wish I could have been reminded that, you know, I was, you know, that I'm awesome, that I'm powerful, that everything is a matter of mind over matter, that I'm being pushed onto greatness every day, a spiritual being of light. So I started sending them out as Mike, never that popular, but I had this inner feeling of, you know, if I wrote from the universe's perspective, I could say more and have it be more impactful. And I resisted because it seemed so blasphemous and seemed so arrogant and unsolicited. But I the feeling wouldn't go away. I capitulated. And the very first note that I ever wrote was, you know, kind of made me laugh. I had a bit of a sense of humor. And it said something to the effect of, you know, your attention, please. This is the universe. Today I'll be recording your every thought, word, and emotion, no matter how helpful or hurtful, no matter how generous, no matter how stingy they may be. And everything I record will be played back for you as soon as possible as some type of physical manifestation in time and space. Thank you. That is all. And immediately I saw the levity, I saw the humor, I saw I didn't have to be taking myself too seriously. That's how I would view and do view divine intelligence as our trusty ally with a sense of humor, loving and adoring us every step of our lives, no matter what kind of mistakes we've ever made in the past. And if I may just add to that, the thrust of my work and all that are in the notes, including the GPS navigation analogy that you read about in my book, speaks to what I view to be absolute, which is a strong word, absolute logistics that kind of unveil every new moment in these hallowed jungles of time and space. It's not willy-nilly. It's not, in my opinion, some God on high deciding what happens to who and when and where. It is our thoughts focused on the end result, not how we're going to get there, our desired end result. Just like in GPS navigation, it's the destination that forces the hows. And in life, if we focus on joy and happiness, being of service, health and healing, divine intelligence knows the hows, just like in GPS navigation, and those hows will be imputed in an absolute sense without judgment, because we're, in my teachings, not judged, we're already adored. And so So there's a method to the madness. These notes remind people of life's magic and their infinite power to do, be, and have all that they now dream of, that they're adored, that they're forgiven, that they're being rooted for in the bleachers and the unseen by a force for which there are no words.
A bit like the music and the magic of the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra, he says as he moves effortlessly back to Scott Harrison once again. Scott, any questions you'd like to put to Michael? Any thoughts at this stage? Again, that's a sort of two-way process as we kind of, Mike, very much in the middle ground here between Lincoln, England and Los Angeles. Sort of geographically, we saw that one through. Any thoughts from yourself, Scott?
Well, yeah, I would like to ask Mike, because we talked about maybe the impact that music might have on those who are listening to it, or how music might connect with the ideas in your book and what you're talking about. But I'm curious, as you've looked at different types of people and understood how they unlock their potential and how they live the values, the ideas in your book, have you ever looked at musicians and sort of understood how they are sort of aligned or not with the possibilities that you write and research?
Well, no, I liken that question to when I'm speaking in South Africa or in Kuala Lumpur, or in Russia, the question I get is, you know, how do these principles pertain to Russians? You know, how do these principles pertain to Africans? So I have not thought of every scenario, but truly and surely, as music, you know, thrills virtually every human being and animals as well, it's clear that there is this common thread between all of us that music captures and therefore can be ridden, can be used to kind of grease the wheels of one's mind. Because to me, I have three words that convey virtually everything that my 17 books try to capture, and that is thoughts become things. Our thoughts unfailingly become the things and events of our lives. It's all about thought. Thought is energy. Energy is consciousness. And anything that facilitates a calm mind or clarity in defining dreams or end results, or that inspires, and music does all of those things, is just adding to the rocket fuel of our innate power to live deliberately, create consciously. So I don't single out musicians, but I do recognize the effect of their work is pure magic on all of us and can make our lives easier and our manifestations swifter.
I think that's a wonderful sort of inspirational routine, and I think we should send it over to the White House if they're not already listening to actually maintain the way forward.
I like that idea.
LACO.org is the place to go to find out more details about the fabulous work that's carried out by the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra. As we've already said, really exciting times because it's a three-year piece with conductor Jaime Martin. The Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra's next music conductor. Lots of great things coming up, including obviously in May. We've got a program with principal oboe Claire Brazier, special guest pianist Robert Thies. It's just one awesome thing after another. Scott Harrison, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the program today? Has it been okay for you, sir? Scott, are you still there?
Alex, I'm sorry, my line is
right, okay.
My line is breaking up again. I only heard part of what you said.
Quick question, Scott, is have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us? Has it been okay for you, sir? Hello, Scott.
I'm sorry, my line is completely shot. Oh, my gosh.
Well, never mind, Scott. You will return.
I'm sorry.
I've no doubt. Scott Harrison, we salute you, and we will speak again very soon.
Yes.
It'll get there in the end. That's the important thing. It's telephony.
It's the snow.
Clearly, it's the snow. Mike, are you able to stay with us for a wee while?
Yes, I'm here.
Marvellous.
Enjoying every moment of this opportunity.
Because next up, we should hopefully be going to Los Angeles again to speak to Phil Lynas. I hope so. Here comes John Lennon. This is karma's gonna get you. Gonna knock you right on the head. You better get yourself together. Pretty soon you're gonna be dead. What in the world are you thinking of? Laughing in the face of love. You.
yourself together, darling. Join the human race.
We do all shine on, isn't that right, Mike Dooley?
We do. We are here to shine.
We are here to shine, isn't that right, Phil Linus?
I hope you are reading me loud and clear, Alan.
Yeah, well, thankfully, we've managed to connect with the Linus equivalent to communications device technology on a week which, actually, Mike, I'll share this with you and our listener. I mean, I've already actually tagged you in, Mike, to the latest post I put up on our Facebook site with both Tessa and Hannah, because they've both been positioned holding Playing the Matrix and the other fabulous text, Tessa, which is... Everything you wanted to know about planet Earth.
Everything you want to know about.
The title's on the book,
basically. Hold on, here we go. Life on Earth, yes. Understanding who we are, how we got here, and what may lie ahead. And I've got to say, flicking through the pages, it's very, very interesting.
Yeah, who we are, why we got here, and what may lie ahead. On your life journey, Phil Linus, much as I say, Mike Dooley, a matter of a few years ago, met the woman of his dreams. He's now got a fantastic daughter. It's all been celebrating for Mike Dooley. It's just great. And Phil Linus, you finally proposed to Lily Holliman. That's all magic. You've also got a full North American distribution for The Lady Killers, and you were at the cinema, the film festival that made you become... Share with us, and Mike, what magical things the universe has been providing for you, Phil Linus, together with, of course, Fuzz Aldrin, that wonderful rescue cat, who, of course, chose yourself and Lily as being... her protectors.
The universe always loves us. This I know, and too much in my life tells me that for me to ever doubt it. That said, it is important to note that sometimes the universe, like any good partner, sometimes holds our feet to the fire with tough love, and these become challenges. And... it was wonderful. My personal work has been, over the last few years, to really reacquaint myself with the concept of time and to appreciate that linear time, the causational concept of time, is entirely a product of the human brain. Every sort of exploration, be it spiritual or indeed quantum, let us know that the arrow of time, at the very least, flows both ways. It flows forward, but when it flows forward, there is also a separate and equal current that flows backwards. And so it all comes together on one night for me in San Jose. We have a theatrical engagement of our film, The Lady Killers, in the theater where 30 years earlier I first had the epiphany that I was meant to become a filmmaker. I am up on stage, not only representing my film, which years past I knew spoke to what was coming forward in the collective, and then it didn't come forward until it did. And I was reminded of a great phrase that artists need to embrace, which is, it is very easy to predict the future. You just can never predict when that future will happen. And it's happening all around us. So suddenly my movie is incredibly relevant. And I'm up there on stage with my beloved feline cat, Fuzz Aldrin, who 6 weeks earlier was supposed to die. But I did much work going back and trying to heal the trauma of her birth. And she's now going to be stronger than she ever was before. So all this is going on, and there could never be a more appropriate time to propose marriage to my partner, Lily Holloman. We've always known it was going to happen from the very beginning. We just didn't know when.
You see, dreams come true. And you see, Mike, why the grand scheme from my own perspective here is we get you connected with the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra, and then Phil Linus can obviously do a full documentary of the whole event itself, really. And that, then I feel my work will be done. I can go off to another planet and sort
things
out.
You're an overachiever, Alex.
You just keep giving.
Mike, having heard Phil's wonderful inspirational tale there, and I think it's fair to say Hannah and Tessa, you're both keen fans of Team Fuzz.
Of course.
And Team Phil Linus and the whole range of things.
Yes, congratulations, Phil and Lily.
Yeah. Wanted to offer you my congratulations as well.
So from your perspective, Mike, any thoughts, special thoughts? I mean, and I do know that sometimes sometimes Phil feels he gets a little bit concerned about the touchy-feeliness of the universe. So, you know, we have to sort of ease that back slightly. But, you know, in terms of the overall thing, any immediate things spring to mind from yourself, Mike?
Oh, it was beautifully and eloquently phrased, all of his insights and experiences. I liked the simultaneosity of time and how it goes both directions, and surely just a little deduction reveals that that must be the case, the logistics of which boggle my brain, but very cool thought to entertain, and as well as the realization or the quote, which was quite stunning, that the future is easy to predict. It's just a matter of, you know, you can't say when. And that, you know, and that's Phil's. I give Phil a standing ovation for that. But I would say it coincides with something that I teach when it comes to living deliberately, making your dreams come true. I tell people, don't mess with the cursed hows. Not even God knows how a dream could come true. There's 7 billion co-creators, and there's tides that are ebbing and flowing, currencies and economies and governments rising and falling. You know, there's such a production at hand. We can't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but that doesn't mean we can't have dreams and leave them to divine intelligence to figure out the whens, tying in with what Phil said, the hows, the whos, etc. So it was beautiful to hear Phil's summary of life.
Many's the time, actually, Mike, you know, people have actually left the Phil Linus slot on the Midweek Drive almost in tears, really. It's been that sort of emotionally overwhelmed.
When did that happen?
Oh.
Yeah, when did that happen?
Altogether, yes. For example, sometimes they leave in tears because Phil Linus is likely to point out that Mike Dooley and the universe have something in common, apparently, with the White House, as Mike talks about his trip to Russia. Apparently, the universe is colluding with Russia, just like our White House is. So,
My goodness.
Conspiracy theory.
Yeah, exactly. The truth is out there. Ancient mysteries.
It was Alex who, the day after our election here, hit me with this, Mike, on the radio. He said, as they now say in your White House, dos vidanya.
Oh, my God.
I like to be a little touch controversial every so often. I realise I probably won't get an invite now to an inaugural Trump seminar, but what the hey. Hannah, thoughts for yourself for either Phil or Mike?
I'm just saying, was it ever on the cards that you were going to go to the inaugural at the White
thoughts
House?
Thoughts for what? Was that Alex?
Hannah, any sort of thoughts for either Mike or indeed Phil?
Oh.
Ignore my White House routine. That was Phil just remembering a time past in a different show, which was a different person. I've changed since then, obviously.
Have you? Okay. I don't know.
Hannah's just so teary and emotional from the all of this.
Everything. And I've got snow brain from the snow today. Anyone else got snow?
Bear in mind that...
I have a story I could share that everyone might kind of like about Fuzz's. It's crazy, but it, about Fuzz's recovery,
I may. Well, allowing for the fact that I'm also looking at one of Mike's wonderful children's books called Dreams Come True, All They Need Is You, written by Mike Dooley and indeed illustrated by a fine artist as well. Whose name is that? Was it Vanessa who illustrated Dreams Can Come True, Mike?
Virginia Allen.
Virginia Allen, not Vanessa. Virginia Allen. Yes, I think it's time we shared that Fuzz Aldrin moment of magic. Phil, take it away, please.
Moments of magic, and indeed, you know, the holidays were a challenge for me being sick and watching Fuzz get sick, but tending to her through this recovery has been an amazing process. And one of the first turning points was getting the diagnosis that she had congestive heart failure and had only a few months left to live. And it did not occur to me that that could possibly be true, because the one thing that this cat could never have failed is her heart. Her heart is as big as the universe itself. I know this heart intimately. And so it didn't strike me as possible. And I said, you know, maybe we should get another. Are you still there? Is everyone still there?
Yes, we're still here, Phil. I think okay. We're all connected. Don't worry. So, the universe hasn't left you on your own.
It didn't strike me as real. And fortunately, this animal hospital sent us to another emergency hospital to get a second echocardiogram done. And in the interim, I was advised to go on a bit of a shamanic journey and see if I could heal my girl's heart. And so I went back to her birth, her traumatic origins of her birth, and I performed a psychic surgery on my girl's heart. And sure enough, the second echocardiogram showed no trace of problem or congestive heart failure at all. Again, I'm not going to ever question the hows or even the whys of it. All I know is that my journey back to her origin coincided with a new reading that her heart was not an issue.
Wow, beautiful.
It does actually open up a whole range of things. I know, Mike, you're interested in the Seth Chronicles and the ways in which that, you know, we're literally just beginning to dip our toes in the whole cosmic wonderment here, and somehow we, you know, we do miss the point. I mean, as I said, Tessa, feeling the stress. Don't feel the stress. Enjoy the experience.
Easier said than done.
Yeah, of the dissertation.
Yeah, focus on the
Hannah
end product.
Well, yeah.
Although saying that, with uni's being cancelled tomorrow, I've never been so excited to spend the day doing my dissertation.
Exactly.
I never thought I'd say that.
Yeah.
I'm now really happy about the chance to write my dissertation.
Teaching cancelled, University of Lincoln, it's too cold and there's too much snow out there.
There is.
Phil, you were going to say something.
I just think, you know, as with the phrase physician heal thyself, it of course was an important reminder for me that the work never ends in terms of going back within my own life, in my past, and making sure that I heal what I perceive as past wounds, and in so doing, rewrite the very tapestry of my life that has led here, because it does do that. You can change the past if only your emotional relationship to it. But changing my emotional relationship to it changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
If only I could have Mike and Phil in my life every single day, I would literally be full
of
positivity.
But you can just sign up for thoughts at CGUT.com.
I know, I am. I need to read this book.
Work its way through that. Honestly, the things I do, Mike, to actually promote another sale of the book, it's unbelievable here. But, you know, keep going on that.
Much appreciated. It's
really well. Mike, share with us, you're off on another world tour very shortly. How are things manifesting? And when are you next back in the British Isles?
Oh, however long it is, it'll be too long. I miss all of it so much. My next trip is New Orleans in 2 weeks, then Vietnam, Cambodia in about a month. And, I end up losing track. Peru again on the calendar this year. Switzerland possibly. So maybe on my way to Switzerland. We'll see what we can do.
I
would love to be there. I miss you guys. The Cotswolds, London, everything.
Oh, and we could certainly arrange for you to actually have a parachute jump just outside Lincoln if you sort of come down, you know, because you'd probably fly over Lincoln on your way to Switzerland, actually.
I think so. I would do it. I would jump out of a perfectly good airplane to see you guys again.
And then jetpack straight back in. I mean, I don't see a problem with this plan. Everyone's got a jetpack, right?
It is the 21st century, but no, Hannah, we haven't as yet manifested jetpacks for us. Astral travelling, yes, but not jetpacks.
I'll get on it.
Phil, any questions you'd like to put to Mike about life, the universe, his adorable daughter? Look at the adorable daughter that's actually there.
Oh, look at her hair. Yeah, oh, it's beautiful. Is it girly?
Yeah, when you actually get the R factor, Mike, from Tessa Snart, you realise you've got a wonderful manifestation of beauty in your daughter. It's great stuff. Would you like to give her a name check so she can actually sort of have the joy of celebration as well?
A name check?
Yes.
It's her name? Yeah,
what is her name, exactly?
Rebecca Solosito Dooley.
Oh.
That's Mexican, the Solosito bit.
Does it mean something? Does it have a meaning?
Solosito means, it's a term of endearment, and it's like little sun, like the sun in the sky, little sun. Solosito.
Anyway, back to Mike, or rather back to Phil. Phil, have you got any questions you'd like to put to Mike at this moment in time with a matter of 4 or 5 minutes to go before we have to say happy trails, we're off to brave our way through the snow, in Lincoln, England at least.
I was curious as to whether or not anyone else, including perhaps the little sun, write some of the notes from the universe.
Oh, that's a nice question. Well, in the deepest stream of thoughts, we probably all are contributors, and I just pull them from the ether, and with much gratitude to everyone's contributions. On this physical plane, it's just me. My pride, my ego, I can't let anybody else write my notes in the universe. But again, in a more serious note, I think, you know, whether it's music or a screenplay or the words we're speaking right now, we're all channels, and I'm sure you guys are all familiar with the terminology, a channel. Somebody channels the energy of another or their higher self, and they write a book or they write a piece of music. I think, without exaggeration, we are all channels. It's not our tongues. It's not our brains that are formulating the words and putting them out in the ether. We are all conduits of the divine. We are all vessels, and we summon, whether it's words or music or plots and storylines, whatever is necessary to achieve what we've been dwelling on in terms of the end result. The end result is our dreams. If we want happiness, divine intelligence is like, well, for you to be happy, you've got to be creative. You need that screenplay done. You need to meet, you know, Marie's soul. You need to have a baby. And all the details are orchestrated, the hows, the whens, the logistics. Based on our ambitions, our leanings, our inclinations, and above all, our dreams, and in some cases, you know, fears, because, you know, all of our thoughts strive to become things, we summon the energy that will bring them to pass. And for me and my career and my desires and ambitions, I summon from this kind of pool of the divine the notes from the universe. That's where they really come from. You know, I am only a vessel, just as every artist is, and just as every speaker and thinker and doer and person alive is. We're all just God particles channeling the divine with our intentions, known or unknown.
Indeed, from Totally Unique Thoughts, reminders of life's everyday magic, to dwell upon what might have been is perhaps the greatest sin. Just do it. Awesome. If all the people in all the world could turn their worries into laughter, then all of the people in all of the world would live happily ever after.
Oh, that's nice.
Joyous. Phil, would you like to put those last two questions to Mike Dooley, please, who's done sterling duty now, coped with the bizarre world of Scott Harrison and getting phone connections together and a whole range of things, and we've spent 50 minutes of sheer joy and pleasure with him. So, Phil, over to you, please.
Mike, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us here this evening?
Phil, it was the best telephonic connection I've ever had in this incarnation. Thanks for asking.
You heard it here.
And may the entire midweek drive crew look forward to connecting with your good self in the not too distant future.
Well said. Yes, I appreciate you.
We will return. I don't think the message quite got through, Phil, but Mike, you will be kind enough to return, I presume.
I will be. I will be. I look forward to that day.
A round of applause for Mike Doherty, please. Wonderful stuff. And as we fade him, for the moment at least, into the life magic, etc., a reminder, of course, tut.com, the go-to website to find all manner of things you can find about playing The Matrix. You can find out about some of the things Mike's been sharing with us. Lots of the books available online, e-books as well, well worth seeing. Honestly, it's well worth taking that little perspective on life, the universe, yes, and the various other things. It's not any coincidence that since Mike actually was with me at Manchester City Stadium, the Etihad, they've won yet another trophy. That's six trophies, yeah. Mike. Six trophies the team's winning. Great. Win-win. Anyway, yes, it's success and success. So they say, when are you coming back to the Etihad as well? And Mike Dooley will return. Phil, are you going to be around for tomorrow morning or midnight in Los Angeles time to actually tell us how much snowfall we can actually expect in Lincoln before Richard Fitzwilliams goes on to talk about his latest movie, which, of course, is focusing on Jennifer Lawrence's Red Sparrow, keeping the Russian theme going?
I will be on the show. I will be talking about the last time we had snow here in Los Angeles, back when I was at UCLA, and I will have my Oscar predictions for you.
Oh, well, I mean, those were supposed to... Richard's already sent his Oscar... Oh, his Academy Award predictions. I was having a momentary sort of lapse there. So hopefully you can send them to me, you can email them to me. We'll get everything magically sorted through. Hannah, have you enjoyed your part of the programme today?
I have very much, thank you.
Marvellous. Tessa, has it been okay for yourself?
It has, very inspirational.
Well, I like to feel that, yeah, it's the way forward. Coming up, lots of great stuff as far as Siren Radio is actually concerned. Magical music material and more coming through the whole process. As we said, we'll hopefully be back tomorrow morning. Human League and Human to sort of see us out, do you think? Or
yeah,
should you think it's
so.
Okay. It's
we'll go with that.
Phil, have you had amusement and treasure? Blah, 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 blah. Let me just rewind that. Go back in time. Get in touch with the NSL. Phil Leonis, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the show today?
Oh, were we on?
Nice. Are you coming back again in the very near future? Of course, you already answered that, so you'll be back with us midnight Los Angeles time. And assuming I can get in, because it's a 10-mile journey in which literally anything can happen, assuming I can get in, we'll hopefully be connecting with you again 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. Yes?
Yes.
Yes!